We added the age groups because we heard from some of the older people. We can't compete with the 20-year-olds. Interesting enough, in the individual competition, we only had one person under 30 that competed. Well, we have a pretty good representation locally. I mean, there's a lot of St. Louis people here, but there's not a lot of St. Louis people that are taking any prizes.
Oh, no.
So even little kids that are running around doing the kids' caches that we hidden out, you know, hidden around here. It's a good thing for them. They're packed full of toys and little gifts and things, so they're probably excited about that after being in the woods with Mom and Dad and just finding Tupperware with punches in it.
Okay.
You know.
What is left to happen on Saturday and what's going to happen on Sunday?
Well, what we have left for tonight, we have we're going to set up a little presentation, hopefully get a screen going and stuff. If everything works all right, we'll be showing the DVD from last year, letting people who were here last year kind of, you know, reminisce and see themselves in the DVD and stuff. We have the award ceremony tonight, like you mentioned. And I think the important thing is that a lot of these people are traveling across states to get here, and some of them might want to go home early on Sunday morning. Others might not want to get up early, you know, or they might just want to cache throughout the day. So we've kind of left Sunday as just kind of a casual day. Tomorrow we'll have a close in the morning. And basically, it'll be nothing more than just thanking the participants for coming out, asking for their feedback. We're going to print up some feedback forms and pass those out tonight, or in the morning, rather. Just kind of see how we can improve. Every year, we learn something new, and this year is no exception.
Last year, Mogo was held in the middle of April, and it was very hot. Now we've done it a little bit earlier, and it's been somewhat cold, but if this had been done a couple of weeks ago, it might have been 70 degrees. Do you still think that MOGA is better done earlier in the year than later, March versus April?
I think so. We got a lot of complaints last year about the heat. You know, our first year when we were at Hahn was our best because we had crystal clear days, and the temperature was about 60 degrees. And so in the mornings it would be kind of cool, 60 degrees, and then that would be about the high, and then it would cool down in the evenings a little bit. And it wasn't quite as nippy as it is now. Of course, being close to the river, I think that adds a little chill, you know, a little moisture to the wind. But, yeah, you're right. We can't predict the weather. I think that keeping it a little bit earlier.
4 or 5 days ago, there was 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah, and that was a big worry, too, was all the snow. And when we went out and checked some of the caches earlier this week, I was out on Thursday checking some that were down on the southern part of the course. We were running in snow that was actually over the top of my boots.
This was held in Illinois this year versus Missouri. Is there some particular reasoning behind that?
Variety is certainly one thing. I mean, every park that we can showcase, you know, that we enjoy, you know, and bring that to the participants who come down, I think is a plus. The main reason is that Missouri has a standing law that if we open anything up to the public, we have to purchase liability insurance. And we're talking about for 200 people on a weekend, a full weekend, to do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood between $3,000 and $4,000 for the weekend. That's just not doable. We can't afford that, and Missouri's not willing to bend on it. There is a way around it, of course, and that's to have it closed just to our membership, but then that goes against geocaching.com's open caching policy that basically says you have to have all events open to all people. So we moved over here in Illinois where we could just do waivers. When we're building up to the event, it's like any normal team building situation. You get, you know, the frustration, the, this is our last year, we need to make sure we move this somewhere else. And then when the event actually happens and they see it all come together, then they're thrilled, they're pumped, and they already start planning for next year. So you already hear people talking about it. You know, without having a good staff, and we've got about 24 people who have been on staff who have really just done a wonderful job in everything that they've needed to do, from placing the caches, we made it easier on ourselves, but, you know, dividing up into teams, we've met a couple nights to where we've stuffed packets, we put caches together, we've labeled things, we strategized, we've looked at maps of the park and stuff. There is an awful lot of hours that go into something like this. But, you know, the payoff is just watching the excitement and the fun that people have. And, like, you know, the Minnesota guys last night talking about this is what they look forward to every single year. Is coming down and competing in this event and just having fun and fellowshipping everyone. It's turned in from 4 guys coming 1 year to 9 guys coming this year.
Has there been talk about handing it over to some other group to take over the reins?
We would like to pass it to some other group simply because, you know, we would like to see another perspective on it. I mean, it's always the way we vision it, and we would like someone else to, you know, add their flavor to it, you know. It's the Midwest Open geocaching adventure, you know, and to me that says that, you know, we're looking for somebody in the Midwest besides our group to host this, to keep it moving around. I would love to go and participate one time rather than being on staff. But if that's not the case, I don't want to see this die because we got the momentum going. You know, we had 92 people 1 year. We had 109 last year. And then, you know, we're over 220 this year. You look at the orienteering clubs, and they have events, and they bring in 200, 300, 400 people sometimes to their events. It's because it's something people love to do, and it's organized, and it gives them a full flavor of the entire sport. Well, I think it's important to do that in geocaching, too.
One thing I saw today was somebody who did not know about MOGA had said he just bought a receiver a week ago, happened to drive by and see a whole mess of geocachers, and stopped by, and he stayed around for about an hour and a half learning about geocaching and talking to scouts about how their involvement. And to me, that was a personal success that I witnessed that wasn't even planned.
Yeah, that's great. Stories like that are great. I mean, you know, and you know, just for him to stumble across this and go, oh, wait, you know, maybe I can get some answers over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of things we like to hear.
Well, I guess lunch is coming up pretty soon. Mike, I appreciate you taking the time out and persevering through these years to keep things going.
You know, it's all about cash, and it's not about anything else. It's about coming out here and having fun, and I think we just need to keep it that. There'll be certain individuals out here that, you know, cash different ways and stuff, and then there's some that, you know, might need to latch on to somebody and cash together with other people and try and make this fitting for everybody. And we would love to see more people out here even next year. Our only fear this year was that it was going to grow way too big for us to handle. And so we started getting a little nervous about that. And so, but next year we'll be better prepared for the numbers.
Okay.
Okay? Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
What's the draw up there?
Walmart.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this is Bentonville, and you got this, like, 50-mile corridor that, as you go from Bentonville out, companies keep building offices and headquarters there because it's much easier to have a local headquarters that deals directly with Walmart and have them there local to Bentonville area. And so it's just fueling everything else. That, and you also, I think, got Tyson up there in that area.
Yeah, Tyson, and then you have, what, J.B. Hunt?
Yeah, J.B.'s big. J.B.'s in Arkansas. So.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, man. The world's largest retailers in Arkansas. World's largest freight, you know, company is in Arkansas.
And largest meat company.
Yeah, largest meat company. That's right.
I talked with Rock Susan, who recently gave a geocaching training class at St. Peter's Rec Center. We talk a little bit about the class and the St. Peter's City geocaching policy.
Here's a scoop, and this happened literally minutes before the class happened, because up until I met the ranger guys, I'm like, what is the scoop? Because I don't know what to tell these people. And it actually turned out they were such newbies, it didn't matter, because they were like...
They weren't going to get a whole lot anyway.
Oh, my God, they didn't even have GPSs. They just barely knew what a cache was, so really, I just sweated for nothing. But, I mean, up until a few minutes before the class, he said, you know, we're just not getting very far. We're just not getting very far. He goes, I'm trying to... It's not working. And then all of a sudden, he took me aside and he goes, you know what, Jeff, from Parks and Recreation, he had called Mike and said, how many people showed up for this class? And it was over 20. He goes, really? Okay. So, in that moment, what we have now is what I proposed like a year ago. Like, anybody can plan to hide a cache. All they got to do is go through this ranger, Mike. And then essentially what he's going to do, give me the coordinates. I'll go find it and either tell him where it is, because he knows the parks. I said, you know, couldn't I just say, like, it's in the stump over by whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah. Okay. Or if he doesn't know where it is, he'll go out and then he'll prove it. And if he says it's okay, and he's pretty pro geocaching. I mean, he's not. He'd be happy to go out, find the caches, tell you where they are, and then you decide. If you say no, that's fine. But anyway, that's a huge improvement.
But even,
since that was just Thursday night, I haven't had a chance to, like, I want to tell everybody.
Yeah.
The ranger and I were talking. He said, you know, if you can show them that this brings in dollars, you really
We can do that for sure.
I know. I did a real brief version of Rich's
PowerPoint. But Dottie had replied to me and said, here, you're putting together a presentation. I'd like to do a kind of a forum. And would you have geocachers come in and maybe for us and other surrounding cities explain what geocaching is and how it can benefit us? And Susan Mack says, well, I'd be willing to be on that panel. I also said, well, did they have a form you had to sign? She said, no, it was all just through email. It was all word of mouth negotiation. So what you were saying about a formal process probably fits in good with those guys. So it's a piece of official piece of paper, and yet we're still saying the co-sponsor is, you don't do anything except sign that we can put it there, and we'll watch after it.
Here's Mike Griffin with the award ceremony.
We'd like to go ahead and get started with the awards presentations. If you left anything in the caches out there, it's not going to go anywhere. So if you're out tomorrow and there's something in the cache, take it, except the logbook, of course, or the punch. The coins that those of you received that were the first 175 registered, those silver Moga coins, that's it. There's only 175 made. The bronze ones were the ones that we sold kind of as a fundraiser to help, you know, offset some of the cost for the event. Tomorrow, you know, we had like a closing ceremony and stuff. We'll scratch that, all right? Come eat breakfast and go cashing or whatever. Don't bother us. Hey, I want to take this opportunity to thank you, everyone, for coming out and supporting this event. We always get kind of disgruntled going up to it, like, this will be our last year, there's so much work. And then we have the event, and we're all like, what are we going to do for next year? So it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it, and we're glad so many people came out. What's really great is seeing, you know, everybody just out having fun. You know, and that's really what it's all about, is just fellowshipping and having fun. What I like to do is I'd like to bring up my staff and recognize them. So everybody who's on staff, please come up here. I couldn't have done it without these people. I mean, you know. Okay, I have a plaque here. This plaque is from the St. Louis Area Geocachers Association in appreciation to all the support and everything for Pierre Marquette Park. This will be put in their office, so we'll take that up there. And it's just our appreciation. They have been absolutely wonderful. Everything we've asked for, they've given us. They've really worked with us through this entire event. Picnic tables, we needed more of them. They hauled them in trucks up here so we didn't have to carry them. We needed gates open and other gates closed. I mean, they were right there on top of it. They gave us the areas to cash in, so I hope you enjoyed those two areas of the park that are never used by anybody but us. Okay, we'll start with the individual event, and there's different age groups. But under 30, taking first place was Aaron Hammer. Aaron? Now, I got to say, he had a lot of competition in this age group. It was him. The 31 to 49, taking third place was Tully Brew, Mike Thompson. Where are you? Come on up, Mike. From O'Fallon. Those of you who stopped and did the Puzzler series on the way here, this is the guy to blame. You know what? Mike, sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to strip you of that. You didn't get third. You got second. Actually, I typed it. I still can't read. Third place, Mark Kuhn. I hope I said that right. Hey, Mark.
Close enough.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Yeah, there you go.
Go Minnesota! Taking first place like a madman is Eddie from Kansas City. Eddie, come on up. Okay, third place in the 50 and older. I hate saying that. Because third place goes to Nick Sage, Jeepers, from Springfield, Missouri. Second place goes to Dan Hinkey. Dan, where are you?
Dan went home.
He went home. Okay, next person.
We'll be back
in first place in our silver category goes to Steve Brown. Okay, two-person team. Okay, taking third place is Team Cooper. Yeah, where's Team Cooper from?
Rochester, Illinois.
Taking second place is Kevin O'Loughlin. Corey? Kevin and Corey?
Winfield, Missouri!
And taking first place was John Griggs. Alright, now comes the big team event. No surprise here. Forrest, Bench, you and your group. Are you here? We just found out that that four-person team was a two-person team competing in the four-person event.
Oh, yeah,
and they still took third place.
Yeah.
They didn't. I guess no one wanted to team up with them. Too bad. You could have had one of these. All you have to do is sit in the car and drink coffee. The next team taking second place in the team event is Brad Meyer's team. And they did have four people, but two of them had to leave, so. Okay, and that's really all the trophies we had. Oh, there is one more. And this comes as no surprise. Defending their title for the third year straight, Team MNGCA. Come on up, guys.
In theory, they donated it.
Next year, this could be yours. Bad chance.
We so have a team in training for next year. One of our cashers here local from St. Louis left his walking stick somewhere in the woods, and his brother carved it for him. It's got a mushroom on the end. So if you're doing some cashes tomorrow and you see something leaning against the tree and you go, that's the tallest moron I've ever seen. That's his walking stick. Please bring it back to the pavilion and we'll make sure that he gets it back.
Well, that's it. The end of my podcast on MOGA 2006. I did an interview with the MNGCA at their campfire on Saturday night. However, I'm going to donate that to Sir Z-Man's podcast in Minneapolis-St. Paul area. You can find that podcast at www.tcgcpc.com or subscribe to the feed to that podcast from a link on my podcast.geostl.com site.